for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, December the 30th, 2017. Kelly Ritchie is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on the spirit of Jezebels.
Now pray with me if you would. We're going to do this together. But one will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000 to flight is a biblical principle. So, and let's just come into agreement. So the more of us that come into agreement and the more that we come together and put the enemy in his place, not in our strength, but in the name of the Lord, then the better things are. Amen? How many know that if the church would quit friendly firing each other, we might be in better shape?
That's true. That's
true.
That is true.
Say, Father.
Father.
Yahweh.
Yahweh.
I come to you in the name and the blood of Jesus. I acknowledge you as the great Yahweh, the Ancient of Days. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent for my sins and the sins of my ancestors, known and unknown. In Jesus' name, asking for forgiveness. I receive forgiveness and cleansing. In Jesus' name, I apply the blood of Jesus to all that pertains to me. As your child, I've been given authority over all of the power of the enemy. Whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. I bind a strong man fighting against me and everyone in this ministry. I bind mind blinding, heart binding, deaf dumb, Antichrist spirit, in Jesus' name. I bind and break all spirits of witchcraft, and all territorial spirits sent to hinder this work, in Jesus' name. I renounce the religious spirit, unholy tradition, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, anger, hate, spite, the root of bitterness, malice, and every other hindering spirit in my life. I renounce Satan and now nullify and break all blood covenants, all covenants, all contracts, all agreements that have been made with Satan, with Lucifer, with fallen angels and demons, by me and my ancestors, knowingly or in ignorance, in Jesus' name. I renounce all unholy baptism, dedication, in Jesus' name. I break the power of the curses that came through these agreements. Command all enforcing spirits to cease and desist and flee in Jesus' name. I now break all ancestral, self-inflicted, direct, indirect curses in Jesus' name. I break the power of all satanic prayers, seals, and shields in Jesus' name. I break the curses of negotiation and justification of sin in Jesus' name. I break and sever all evil ties with the past, ties with places, and all ties, living and non-living individuals that are unholy in Jesus' name. Jesus, you're my Lord, you're my Savior, you're my Deliverer, you're my Healer. Thank you, Father, for sending however many holy warriors that you deem needed for this battle at hand. to clear this atmosphere and aid in our deliverance. I believe your word says, I can hear your voice. I believe you can show me things in vision by an action of the Holy Spirit. By your grace, I renounce rebellion. Choose obedience and believe who the Son sets free. It's free indeed. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray and decree. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Now just take a deep breath. Let him go. Everyone needs to come out now. Come on out of there. In the name of Jesus.
Come on out.
Everyone Jesus ordains out, even that would block this ministry, I pray your power come out now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
All right. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm going to teach on the spirit of Jezebel.
All right.
The roots, the effect, and the remedy. Who was Jezebel? There are two Jezebels in the Bible. The first one is found in the Old Testament. Second one is found in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Jezebel, the first name Jezebel occurs in the Bible when she's getting married to King Ahab in 1 Kings 16-31. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. And it came about as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, which means king of the Sidonians, and went to serve Baal and worshipped him. 1 Kings 16:30-31. She was an evil woman who killed many prophets of God while feeding and caring for the prophets of two gods called Baal and Asherah. 1 Kings 18:1-19. In 1 Kings 18:20-46, Ahab, Elijah, and 450 prophets of Baal gather to see, who is God? Elijah says simply. How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. 1 Kings 18:21. What followed was a one-sided contest. The followers of Baal prepared a sacrifice, but Baal never sent fire to consume the sacrifice, even though the 450 prophets called to Baal all day, pleading, O Baal, answer us. Then they even cut themselves with swords and lances, and still Baal did not answer. Baal never responded. Finally, Elijah poured water on his sacrifice three times. After Elijah prayed, God sent fire from heaven to consume his sacrifice. Elijah killed the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18:40. Therefore, Jezebel sought to kill Elijah. In 1 Kings 21:5-25, Jezebel had Naboth the Jezreelite killed so that her husband could own Naboth's vineyard. Excuse me. What a wicked woman she was. Eventually, Jezebel was trampled to death by horses, 2 Kings 9:30-37. Then dogs ate her flesh, leaving only her skull and the palms of her hands. What a horrible way to have to die. Jezebel was wicked, evil, adulterous woman who was fighting against God. But Jezebel in the New Testament, the name Jezebel is used for a woman once again in Revelation 2:18-29. Here Jezebel is described as a prophetess, a false teacher, an immoral woman, and an idol worshiper. She attended a church at Thyatira. She encouraged those who attended the church to engage in sexual sin and worship other gods. But I have against you that you tolerate this woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. She teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. That's in Revelation 2:20-21. She was like the Jezebel in the Old Testament. They share many of the same characteristics. And God warned this Jezebel that he would punish her if she did not stop this evil and repent. God not only warned Jezebel, the teacher, he also warned her followers to stop and to repent. Revelation 2:22-23. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. Revelation 2:23. The Jezebel spirit is a spirit undergirded by rejection, rebellion, fear, anger, control, and fear of losing control. Some of the reasons and roots for the Jezebel stronghold. Babies are born to be normal, loving beings. We need to examine why anyone, like a Jezebel, would turn evil or be open to an evil presence that would dominate her thinking. Scripture says, we war not against flesh, but against evil spirits and principalities in high places. We have to remember that Jezebel is a spirit that infects people who are victims. We have to remember that Jezebel is a spirit that infects people who are victims as much as those people that are damaged by their behavior. First, it's important to control or arrest the damage that the infected person is creating. But we should not stop there. We should examine the roots of the problem with the person and help deliver them out of this situation if possible. If we can get to the root of why someone has a Jezebel spirit, then we may be able to help free them from that overpowering influence and help them to recover. Otherwise, the salvation and eternal destiny of their souls is at stake. Common doorways that let the Jezebel spirit in a family line. 1, abandonment of father either literally or spiritually, even by playing the role of Ahab to a dominant mother with a loss of spiritual and physical protection. Especially in America, in the last 50 years, the absence of the father in the home is not just economic. A little child, a girl especially, needs to have a strong male image that teaches her that she is valuable, loved, and protected. When this male covering is gone, their life seems out of control and hurtful. The child will immediately go into a mode of self-protection, learning ways to control its environment to avoid further pain. The mother may seem inadequate in some cases, and the child may see the mother as the one who sent daddy away, and therefore responsible for her pain. If the mother is a traditional stay-at-home mom, then the child learns that this mother cannot protect her as they feel needed, and they grow up viewing traditional women as weak and incompetent. The mother was not good enough to keep her man. Jezebel, like all other spirits, can run in family lines. Long lines of upside-down, female-dominated families, which is contrary to Father God's order. If the mother is abusive, then this makes women the enemy forever. If the mother is a liberated woman, in the literal sense, the child learns that only women are powerful, and only they should be trusted and bonded with. If the mother has values that are against traditional moral values, then the child will end up on the slippery slope into a lesbian homosexuality. If daddy seems to make it known that he left for another woman, or that he openly expresses his interpretation and value of love as sexual, then the child will learn to get daddy's love, that to get daddy's love, that sex will get his attention. This lesson will be transferred to other men that a girl or a boy will want to be involved with. The child will look for love in all the wrong places and will use sex and not love to lure others, since they do not know what true love really is, what godly love is from a male figure. Child abuse, especially sexual, since it is so intimate, has permanent consequences. The National Center of Child Abuse and Neglect, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, compiles data about the number of cases reported to Child Protective Services each year. But the fact is the number of reported cases is very small compared with the number of actual cases. Abuse can be verbal, sexual, and physical, all which can result in permanent trauma for the child. The trauma will either cause amnesia as a coping mechanism or result in replay and lifelong torment. Abuse begets abuse and will quite often carry on to the victim's children. Only the love and power of Jesus Christ can destroy this cycle. Take a look at these statistics from the counseling world. 1,500 children die from abuse each year. These are 140,000 injuries to children from abuse each year. About 1 in 4 women in North America were molested in childhood. More than 2 million cases of child abuse and neglect are reported each year in the United States. An estimated 150 to 200,000 new cases of sexual abuse occur each year. Approximately 1 in 7 males will have been sexually molested before the age of 18. The effects, but not all, include disturbances in sexual interest, difficulties during sexual contact, dysfunctions of desire, arousal, or orgasm, seductive behaviors, compulsive activity and prostitution, precocious sexual behavior, confusion of sexuality, and nurturing behavior, anxiety, self-destructive behavior, relationship problems, and re-victimization. We can see how the doors to the Jezebel spirit are being opened here, since she is known by many of these traits. The abused child will understand sex as physical stimulation only, and will disassociate love, intimacy, and trust from the experience. Thus, others become objects of stimulation and gratification. There's no place for a real relationship because they do not understand what one is. An Ahab father and Jezebel mother in a family, children get their identity from their parents who are supposed to be their role models. In both abandonment and abuse, there's a lot of anger, rage, and bitterness. There are memories that have never healed, and the person cannot forgive those in their past. This unforgiveness subconsciously motivates every decision made regarding relationships. Trust is gone, and the person may hold suspicion of everyone that resembles those that betrayed them from an earlier time. The younger and more vulnerable the child is when things go wrong. And the more repeated the injury, the angrier the adult will become. This anger at the past that was out of control for them will be channeled into controlling everything in their present and in their future. The unforgiveness acts as a self-defense mechanism, since they are acting to prevent further injury, making sure to hurt others first. In abusive relationships in adulthood, if the abusive adult relationship reinforced the childhood abuse, this more deeply ingrains the Jezebel spirit that has infected the person. As stated earlier, abuse begets abuse. The demons know full well how to steer already hurting individuals into another train wreck. The lack of general moral values in home growing up, or early social influences outside the home, which contradict morality. If there are no moral values taught in the home, as to right and wrong, then any value that can arise which is totally demonic or antisocial. The outside influences include schools, teachers, and fellow classmates who may come from non-ethical backgrounds. If teachers, for example, usurp the authority of the parents and teach values contrary to the moral values of the home, then the parents can be undermined and the child can get out of control and turn into a nightmare for the parents. A good example of this is teaching that homosexuality is acceptable to children as an alternative lifestyle. This moral corruption of children will lead to aberrant behavior later, especially since they are being taught that their parents' morals are a lie, and they can rebel against the parents if they wish to. Early influences also include those from the media, where immorality and violence is celebrated. Any child who learns early on that there is no God or no morals, and there is no one to answer to for their behavior, ends up creating their own set of rules. The do-what-you-want attitude is godless and can lead to anything, even murder. Abuse, abandonment, misuse of authority all contribute to forming the personality dominated by Jezebel. A believer influenced by Jezebel's spirit may not intend to destroy a family or a church. However, individuals who operate in varying levels of rebellion and witchcraft have destroyed many families and churches. Witchcraft is able to work through an individual who tries to take control. Manipulation and control is strengthened with each successful control of another person. Full of self-pity and pride, an individual's soul is endangered by deeper demonization. This type of witchcraft can be performed without occult involvement, even by Christians who profess Jesus as their Lord. People who operate in more mature forms of witchcraft are determined to impose their will no matter what the moral cost. In the case of Jezebel, her use of manipulation, manipulative control, resorted to murder. Yahweh, our Abba Father, hates witchcraft. Mm-hmm. It hinders relationships in which honesty is vital. Since witchcraft violates the will of others and their ability to choose, it greatly damages a husband-wife relationship. It is also destructive in a parent-child relationship and relationships with other family members. In situations in which conflict arises, those who operate in this spirit refuse to communicate truthfully, and sometimes not at all. Furthermore, they will employ artful, unfair, or insidious means to gain advantage and achieve their goals, thinking their cause justifies their actions. Then a root of bitterness develops. Rejection begets bitterness, and bitterness begets rebellion. Rejection is one of Satan's most effective forms of oppression. Rejection may keep a sinner from coming to God for salvation and a Christian from reaching his or her full potential in God. It undermines, it breaks, and prevents normal and harmonious relationships between family members, marriage partners, fellow workers, and friends. It also distorts our image of God as a loving Heavenly Father who loves us and who wants only the best for us. The dictionary defines rejection as an act of throwing away or discarding someone or something, which implies a lack of value in the person or thing thrown away. Being rejected, then, makes us feel valueless or worthless. Being denied love is at the root of rejection. Rejection, whether active or passive, real or imaginary, robs Jesus Christ of his rightful position as Lord in the lives of his children and keeps believers from experiencing the vitality and quality of life that he alone can give. Rejection results in wounding of the heart, sometimes so painful that the mind refuses to deal with it. So we bury it in our subconscious. Later it surfaces in other ways to cause us problems. Rejection is the greatest undiagnosed and most untreated malady within the body of Christ. Regrettably, a large majority of those coming for prayer suffer from feelings of rejection. In Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any fail of the grace of God, or lest any root of bitterness springing up disturb you, and by it many are defiled. Rebellion in all its forms has several roots. Bitterness opens the door by which a Jezebel spirit slithers into a person's soul undetected. Bitterness often takes hold in our lives when we feel we are being overlooked for recognition or honor. Self-pity sets in, and people knowingly or unknowingly begin to seek ways of getting attention to display the gift that they believe they have. Bitterness resides in our soul because it's a mental stronghold linked to selfishness and pride. Bitterness may be directed toward God or anyone who God endows with authority. Since bitterness often is a reaction to a perceived injustice or to unjust authority, it will provoke a person to react against all authority, whether just or unjust. Bitterness also brings despair. But since bitterness is tied to pride, this despair will drive people to design schemes that promote their gifts. Bitterness is truly sinful. It deeply damages people and leads to lawlessness. As with all sin, bitterness must be recognized, must be repented of, and healed through God's grace. Bitterness brings sour fruit. A root of bitterness will produce varied fruit. It may birth immorality, as described in Hebrews 12:16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. There will be a lifelong anger and resentment or a pattern of broken relationships. Moreover, a root of bitterness is contagious. A bitter spirit will infect many others. The cross is the stopping point for all bitter roots. Jesus alone is the great physician who can deliver us from all demonic torments. His anointing alone turns us from our rebellious ways. A bitter, rebellious heart can be transformed into a grateful, obedient heart as it is touched by the grace of God. After such deliverance, the person must decide to submit to God-given authority. Submission is a decision. Mm-hmm. Submission is a decision rather than a feeling, which an individual makes. A continual practice of submission will produce meekness. Remember, Jesus said that the meek will inherit the earth in Matthew 5:5. Let's look at the definition of meek. Mild of temper, soft, gentle, not easily provoked or irritated, yielding, giving to forbearance under injuries. Now the man of Moses was very meek of all men, Numbers 12:3. Appropriately humble in an evangelical sense, submissive to the divine will, not proud, self-sufficient or refractory, not peevish, and apt to complain of divine dispensations. Christ says, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. In heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls." Matthew 11:29. Without deliverance, there will be a root of bondage that will develop. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, in Romans 8:15. A root of bondage leads to fear and produces spirits of legalism, depression, servitude, enslavement, and control. Someone enslaved to a Jezebel spirit, either as its vessel or as its victim, cannot taste true liberty. Scripture says that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Freedom brings about responsibility and accountability. Yet those who operate with the Jezebel spirit will welcome responsibility, but not accountability. They will perceive accountability as slavery and avoid it like the plague. Often individuals in the grip of the Spirit are unable to sense their adoption as a son or daughter of God. They feel isolated and uncared for. While striving to meet their own needs, they embrace a victim mentality because life owes them something. Even if they are giving an extravagant gift, they exude a lack of gratitude, feeling they deserve whatever was given to them. In fact, they always feel more should have been given to them. There is never enough to satisfy. As the bondage increases, fear prospers. Look at Job's words. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Job 3:25. Fear, which is a lack of faith, opens the door for a Jezebel spirit to enter an individual's life. A mindset of fear may begin in childhood. If it then continues until an individual soul gains rule and begins to control him or her. The spirit of fear, a mental stronghold of the soul, may lie to a young girl. It will whisper, I will protect you. I will be your refuge from other people's domination. I will give you control. This spirit's deception happens subconsciously because it bypasses a child's understanding and moves directly to influence an individual's actions. Therefore, a spirit of fear causes us to learn to react to a situation with fear. A spirit of fear always gains its influence during our weakest moments. These moments usually follow on the heel of an episode in our life that has left deep scars on our soul. Weaknesses can also arise from unspoken fears of our parents and others. Unfortunately, many well-meaning parents use fear to control a child rather than developing a child's ability to make wise choices. Even things like saying there is a boogeyman in the closet or under the bed, or saying they are going to leave the child when it's time to leave and the child isn't ready. My mom did that to me. So she would tell me that there was a boogeyman under the bed. And until I was married, Randy and me had been married, and it was probably 4 years after we were married, and I started going through this delivery. I couldn't even put my hand off the edge of the bed or my foot. It couldn't dangle because I was afraid something was going to get me. And I would have to keep closet doors shut. But now my leg hangs off the bed. My arms hang off the bed. All the closet doors can be open, and I'm okay. So that's a hallelujah for me. I didn't like having to be tucked all under.
You had to run that boogeyman off.
I had to run the boogeyman off. Because it was really a spirit there. It really was. It was there. A root of fear can be removed by the Spirit of God. And he removed it. But individuals must be willing to pay the price of prayer, patience, and forbearance. They must also desire to forgive any authority figure who has wounded or abused them. And I did forgive my mom for that. But I did. I know that even though I didn't know about that when my children were born, I told my mom, because it tormented me. I was still being tormented when I told my mom. I said, do not tell them there's something in the closet or something under the bed and scare them, because I didn't want my kids to be afraid.
Good for you.
Some of the strongholds, lies spoken by seducing spirits, are often very subtle. They arrive as thoughts spoken into a soul by a cunning and shrewd evil spirit. At first, the thoughts seem logical and just. Once they're embraced, believed, and accepted, these thoughts become embedded into our subconscious minds. They become a way of thinking, or in other words, a demonically inspired mental stronghold. Your conscious mind may never knowingly process the thoughts that enter it from that point on, unless you receive a revelation from God and discern that a demonic spirit is trying to control your thoughts. Most strongholds take root during our childhood years. Generally speaking, your parents probably did not have the discernment to nullify such attacks of spiritual warfare. Even those parents who were able to discern a lying spirit often were not adequately versed in the Word of God to teach their children how to defend themselves against such attacks. Consequently, we have all become potential prey for Satan's lying snares. 2 Timothy 2:25-26. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at will. To agree with the lying spirit is to become its prisoner. Such dishonest spirits are demanding prison bars. The same spirit that works through and for them also works against them to keep a person from escaping. In a twisted way, these demonic prison guards will try to convince an individual that their prison cell is actually a vehicle that will bring about their long-awaited position of honor, but it is an illusion. Whenever we accept the enemy's lies, we then willingly accept rejection, insignificance, and insecurity. We begin to doubt having a loving Heavenly Father. Consequently, a stronghold of fear will produce untold anxiety and depression. Once Christians are able to recognize these strongholds, they can find true freedom. Removing a spirit of fear will sever a major root of the Jezebel spirit. Freedom and inner healing for past wounds are accomplished by renouncing false truth in an evil source and receiving renewed trust in the Lord Jesus. There is also a root of pride. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth, Revelation 17:5. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and I am no widow, and will not see sorrow, Revelation 18:7. Pride is the taproot of a Jezebel spirit. Pride involves lifting or elevating yourself in order to rule in stature or influence. A spirit of pride is contrary to the Holy Spirit. Spirit of pride is also unlike the hard Esther, who humbly entreated her authority, her husband, the king, to hear her petition. Because of her meekness, her cries were heard, and a nation was saved. Nor is the spirit of pride typical of Deborah's heart. As a prophetess and a judge of Israel, Deborah did not want to presume or wrongfully take leadership that belonged to another. Instead, she stepped into leadership only at the insistence and invitation of the leader. Jezebel despises meekness. Jezebel is full of pride, which is the opposite of humility. In Scripture, Jezebel is portrayed as glorifying herself and living luxuriously. Full of presumption, she decided to sit as queen. Revelation 18:7. This arrogant spirit will despise the lowly estate of a widow or of any woman. This puffed up spirit views meekness and humility as inherently worthless and debased. As such, the spirit despises subordination to authority, because to be submitted to authority would require a sacrifice too great to offer. Instinctively, this haughty spirit uses seductive qualities to lure others into its schemes. Desperate for attention, people under the dominion of this spirit desire the infatuation and adoration of others who are then led to their death. Discerning Jezebel today, the end times will begin being marked by great conflict between systems of light and darkness. Satan is using every diabolical scheme to oppose the church in its completion of the Great Commission. One of the most effective schemes is a control spirit called Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel represent a frenzied Baal and Asherah religious orchestration. This is a partnership of rebellion and stubbornness for witchcraft and idolatry. We are witnessing an empowerment of the Jezebel spirit, and we must be informed and need the discernment of the Lord. The biblical Queen Jezebel typified a form of demonic control to perfection with her rebellion and manipulation that her name has become synonymous with the working of those spirits. We will refer to this spirit as she because this spirit is characterized by female name and most often expresses itself for women through women, but not exclusively. Jesus warned the church of the last days not to tolerate this spirit Jezebel. Those who are operating in this spirit teach, beguile, and seduce others into immorality, false worship, and even idolatry. The Jezebel spirit is a major obstruction to restoration, revival, God's order, and the authentic faith. The working of the Jezebel spirit is a system of intimidation, manipulation, and control. She is a master of web-spinning strategies like a spider who spins a web to catch and hold her prey. The web is spun by winning the trust and confidence of those that she wishes to control. Her goal is to consume and to destroy. Both the victim and the one operating in Jezebel must have their eyes opened and fight their way out of the web with repentance, discernment, deliverance, counsel, and new habits. And Ahab cooperates with Jezebel by letting her have her way and not pursuing God-appointed destiny. All in authority, no exceptions, are her target. Discerning Jezebel in a Christian context. Jezebel operates in Christian families and organizations, although in non-Christian settings, she has the same deadly ambitions. Jezebel has mastered a sophisticated ability to manipulate and control without physical force. She works undercover and behind the scenes. She draws power from fear and intimidation. Here are some characteristics of Jezebel operation in a Christian context. Lust for attention, promotion, and insist upon recognition. Appears to serve God, but it is an inroad to establish her agenda and gain control. Plays religious games. Camouflages desire for control with religious talk. Frequently claims to have heard directly from God. Seeks teaching leadership positions to gain stature and control in organizations. Searches the church, organization, and family members for allies in her conspiracy. Relentlessly point out problems, often exaggerating. Manipulates or disregards male leadership. Resents credible men and women. Betrays others through knowledge of their personal lives and uses blackmail to create compromise. Feels elitist, others are never good enough spiritually. Often knows the scripture well, using them for her benefit. Judges others by quoting scripture and condemns them in the name of discernment instead of interceding for them in the name of Jesus. Many appear loyal and might volunteer for special service. Pretends to be submissive and humble to gain a strategic advantage. Hides from true repentance. May appear repentant, but not from the heart. Vaunts herself in her own strength and pride over her achievement or her gifts. As we go through these characteristics, if this is convicting, repent. If it is reminding you of another, don't judge them in an unrighteous manner. Repent if you have, forgive them, and pray for them. If we judge in an unholy manner, we may become what we judge, especially with this spiritual dynamic. Some more signs of Jezebel. May be involved in sexual sins, sensual looks, and have a seductive voice. Stimulates, entices, persuades, provokes, sets up, and stirs up. Charms, manipulates, and harasses. May be loud and bold, quiet and cunning, positive or negative as needed. Places blame and guilt on others to shame them. Uses either truth or lies to slander in order to destroy reputation. Uses partial truth, seasoned with well-placed lies, to spin a web of deception and entanglement. Manipulates as a way of life, uses cunning when others are straightforward, changes opinion, may contradict herself, compromises when necessary to get what she really wants, uses or asserts another's, or usurps another's authority, wears people down to usurp their authority, may build up to tear down, sets people up and then springs traps, keeps everybody off balance not knowing how to take her, uses emotions to her advantage, may use the silent treatment to her advantage, undermines self-worth and confidence in others, probes people's character in order to locate weak spots to exploit, plays one person or group against another, works friends against friends and destroys relationships, claims to have been misunderstood when challenged, will enlist false witnesses to testify against others, talks and pulls strength behind people's backs, will attack anyone who gets between her and her goals or those she cannot control. Fear of the Lord is absent, opening the door to destruction. When two people under the Jezebel spirit are together, they usually contend, unless it is to their advantage to form an alliance in order to obtain their personal agendas. What does it look like when a Jezebel spirit strikes? You know you've been Jezebel's when. For both men and women, fear comes. Jezebel made a career of control and manipulation. They must be in control.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.